Welcome to Shift, a college admissions ACT and SAT podcast for a changing world. I'm Tyler, the founder of Achievable, and we have an affordable ACT course that includes everything you need to ace your ACT tests. A full textbook, tons of ACT questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, videos on key topics, a built-in study planner, and full-length practice exams. You can get a free trial by going to achievable.me, and if you like it, the code podcast will get you 10% off at checkout. If you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss in a future episode, please contact me at tyler@achievable.me with the subject line podcast topic. Now, let's get started. Today, we've got Mary Johnson with us from Odyssey College Prep. Mary, I'd love it if you could introduce yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me. I've worked at Odyssey College Prep for about 2 years, and I mainly work with students on the English and reading sections, and I absolutely love it. It's been a really good gig for me.
Yeah, fantastic. So you've been doing this for a little while then. So then let's talk about how to raise your ACT English score. I mean, I think that this is, you know, probably one of the first things that kids will ask you when they start to work with you, right? So what do you, how do you start this conversation with them, and where do you want to, what are your sort of bits of advice or tips?
Yeah, and you're right. It really is the first thing that I talk to students about, because it's the easiest one to raise your score with. You see, like, the most dramatic improvement with English, even when comparing to the STEM things like math and science. And it's the first section that you see when you open up your ACT booklet. So it's a good place to start.
And it's also the first section of the ACT, right?
Yep. First thing. So right at 8 a.m. when you walk in, that's what you see.
Got to start reading.
Yep. Start looking at grammar stuff. But I would say that number one biggest piece of advice for English is that you can't go off what sounds good to your ear. Now, the English section is a lot of grammar things, right? You'll have a sentence, and they'll highlight or underline maybe a few words of that sentence, maybe the entire sentence, and they'll give you some options about how to revise it or how to edit it. So it's really common for students to say, oh, answer B sounds nice. So I trust that this is grammatical, circle it and move on. But they design the answer choices to sound right even when they're wrong. And that's their job. They're super good at it.
Yeah.
So if you can just learn a good handful of grammar rules and punctuation rules, then you'll dramatically increase your score.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess really quickly, if you could maybe dive in a little bit into, like, what sounds like means on this test and how it actually becomes a trap, right? Like, because when you're normally speaking English day to day, like, things that sound right, you know, that it's like usually fine. But in this test environment that's very precise, it can be one of the best ways that they could trick you. So, like, how does the ACT make questions that quote unquote sound, or sorry, make answers, excuse me, that sound good but are actually wrong?
Yeah, one good example is with subject verb agreement. I'd say I was meeting with a student just a couple days ago, and they were missing the same subject verb agreement questions over and over because of this. It sounded right to her when they weren't. So let's think of an example. You could say, I'm going to use a super simple one, right? Like, the cats who always go near my house were really nice today. Right? So you think about the subject of that sentence, cats. And then they put all these words in between cats and the subject were. Right? The cats who were at my house today, or who always go by my house, were really nice. This isn't a great example because I always think of simple ones. But they love to put a lot of words in between the subject and the verb when you're doing the subject-verb agreement things to confuse your mind. House is singular, right? So you might be tempted to say the house was, when actually you should be saying house were. Anyways, they just love to make long, complicated sentences to trick you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then to beat those, you're just going to be, you're going to be sticking to the rules, right? And realizing that, like, it, the ACT reading, really, from my, ACT English, from my understanding of sort of talking about it with you, it really is just about, like, knowing these rules really cold, right? And then being able to, like, apply them in complex situations. So what are kind of the key rules that you have students watch out for when they're getting prepared for the ACT English?
Punctuation is a big one. That's honestly always the first thing that I talk about with students is punctuation. If you know the rule for, say, if you know the rule for a semicolon, you know that it's used to connect to independent clauses, then you will get every question that has a semicolon in it right. Okay, if they're testing your knowledge on that, you will get it right because you know this connects to independent clauses. If you see anything else and they say, is this right? You know, no, it's not. It's as simple as that. And there are so many punctuation questions that I'd say learning just 4 or 5 rules with that increases your score a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then, like, can you give some examples of kind of how these things would come up?
How these things will come up. Yeah, let's think. Commas, right? Commas, that's a big one because there's lots of ways you can use commas. So let's say they're testing your ability to pick out a proper appositive, right? Some people call them appositive, some people call them like non-essential phrases. They're those things in the middle of a sentence that are an aside. Right? Like Clifford, comma, the big red dog, comma, eats a lot of food. Right? Mm-hmm. And so the big red dog would be our appositive. It's that non-essential phrase in the middle of the sentence, blocked off by commas. So they could test your ability to say, well, where is the appositive in this sentence? Now, when I use that very simple example, it's pretty obvious what it is. Mm-hmm. And I love to give my students really simple examples. Okay, this is how this works. But when you go in the book, oh my goodness. Like I say, they use these big, long, complicated sentences, and it becomes a lot more difficult to pick out where those things are. So when we're learning about commas and how those work with the positives, you can ask yourself, can I take this this group of words out of the text and have the sentence still be grammatical? Does it still make sense? If that's the case, then great. I can leave the commas there. I can say, yes, this is an appositive. It's non-essential to the sentence. We're good to go. I love to have my students read the sentence without the text in there, right? That helps a little bit. But it's hard when you also can't talk in the testing center. Because that's annoying and, you know, also not okay to everybody else around you.
Well, yeah, it would be very distracting to everyone else, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, just mouthing the words too, right, can help a little bit as long as you're reading things with those rules in mind. Like, does it follow A, B, and C? Yes, great, we can move on.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then, so those are, I mean, I think those are 2 very actionable kind of tips here. Where do you want to go from here? Do you want to share more tips or do you want to maybe like go through a couple examples? Like, what are you thinking?
Let's see. Let's talk about how to manage time. Is that a good idea?
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Managing your time on the ACT English, So managing your time on the English section, there you have 75 questions in 45 minutes, right? Which may sound like not a lot of time. Honestly, after some coaching and things, it's usually not that hard to do, because these questions do take only about 30 seconds to do, or about 45 seconds. But they have these questions mostly at the end of each passage. There's five passages that ask about the passage as a whole. And once you get there, it says, okay, well, what's the purpose of this entire passage? And at that point, many students have just read like those few sentences that they've asked for them to revise, or maybe just like the very underlined parts, and they don't actually know what the passage is about. So my advice would be to actually scan all of the text before you get to those last questions. And by the time you get there, you actually know what you're talking about. You can answer the question. If you don't, then you'll be forced to go back to the beginning, reread the whole thing, and it would take a lot more time. And that's where time could be an issue. Maybe you'd be left to guess on the last few questions. And honestly, with learning, especially punctuation rules and things like that, that makes things go by faster. And yeah, that's why I say after some coaching and things, it really doesn't have to be an issue the time on the English section, which is nice. It's a relief, you know. You can worry about the time on the reading section or something. But on this one, if you learn a few rules, it can be okay. You don't have to worry so much.
Yeah. And I also, I mean, it is still like passage based, but I think in general it's just a lot less intimidating than the reading section in that way, right? Like, it's a lot less intense writing.
For sure. Yeah, it's not as intense. I like it a lot. I think most of my students would agree that English feels a lot more doable. It's like, okay, anybody can do this. Just learn it. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, timing on that is a big one. There's also another kind of question. We like to call them concise rule questions. And this can help with timing as well. They're the questions that might have multiple grammatical answers. And you're left saying, okay, well, if every choice is grammatical, then what do I do? And most of the time, as long as it's consistent with the tone of the passage and things, then the shortest answer choice will be your right one. You say shortest and simplest. Mm-hmm. So it's avoiding redundancies, it's the least amount of words, and it's still doing its job, then you're good. And students will often look at those, spend a lot of time on them, right? Because they can't figure out what's being tested here, I don't understand, and get a little freaked out. So it's nice to recognize those and just go, oh, this is an easy one. I can just pop in my answer and move on. That can help with time too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of time management to me is just figuring out which questions you can answer in 15 seconds so that you can then use that time elsewhere, right?
Totally. Yes. And I'd say there are a couple questions, though, that you should definitely take more time on, right? There's the ones like we've talked about today, some punctuation ones, the concise rule questions. Those don't take much time at all, especially if you know the rule. Answer it, move on. But a few of the questions will be asking about something really specific. It could say, like, which choice does this, right? Which choice most excitedly conveys Harry's conviction about this? I don't know, right? They want something really specific from you, and they want you to pick which choice does X, right? And the difference between getting these questions right and wrong is about 15 seconds. So if you take an extra 15 seconds and dedicate that to understanding what the question wants from you and satisfying those requirements, that makes a big difference. So hopefully you can save up time on some questions so you can invest time in other ones, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, any other sort of tips or advice for improving your ACT English score?
I would say just, I mean, obviously the Achievable textbook has really everything, all those little rules that you would need to know on there. And as you learn them, taking as many tests as you can and doing practice questions, which are also on the course as well, but doing those questions over and over and over again, because you can't expect yourself to just learn the rule one time and then be like, oh, now I know it, I'm good. But if you see it in context over and over, then you'll be a great test taker, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really like important to have it, use it in context, right? And because like you said, a lot of students will like kind of know a rule, but they won't like know like the version that they see on the test, or it will be harder on the test because it's applied in a more complex way. And so to like try to get that practice now.
Agreed.
Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been Shift, a college admissions podcast for a changing world, hosted by Tyler from Achievable with Mary Johnson from Odyssey College Prep. And you can get a free trial of our ACT course by going to achievable.me, and you can use the code podcast to get 10% off at checkout.